Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so happy you've chosen to join us for the Ready for the Right Guy event. At the beginning of this new year, it's a brand new beginning, and I'm here with some of the very best love, dating, and relationship experts out there who are here to give you their best wisdom and support on your journey to love. And I'm so happy to have a guest who I was privileged to interview a few years ago. And I'm so happy to reconnect, and that is with the lovely and talented Catherine Ellis. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you, Michelle. So nice to be with you.
So happy to have you here. And I know that so many of the women will be familiar with you and your work and the wonderful things that you do in the world with your books and things. But for those that may not be as familiar, we'll start with just a little introduction. Catherine Ellis was a single mom for 10 years before meeting her soulmate, John. And they're just the cutest couple. You have to look at their picture of it already. Catherine is considered one of the U.S.'s foremost experts on soulmates and dating. Oh, I skipped a sentence. She's a late bloomer who had two more children in her 40s. Darling boys, right? Author of the bestseller, Love Will Find You, she teaches around the world and is responsible for thousands of people recovering from heartbreak and finding the love of their lives. Her work has been featured in Psychology Today, USA Today, Daily Mail, New York Times, Parade, NBC, CNN, and many other media. Catherine directed the Agape Crisis Support Team for 6 years. And is a graduate of Vanderbilt University. Catherine has been married to her own soulmate, John, for 15 years, and they have 4 boys. And the two of you sure made great, cute kids. I've seen the boys.
Thank you. Thank you.
So glad you found each other. And so glad you're helping so many other people find their soulmates. Like, we've got the wall of soulmates back there, right?
That's right. I call it my wall of weddings.
Oh, I love it. That's beautiful. So there's a big question in so many women's minds, Catherine, and we're going to talk about that today. And that is how to know if there is someone out there for you. And I know for so many women, especially those who maybe are a little older or have been in the dating world for a long time and maybe feel like they've found everything, they've tried everything. It's not uncommon to ask the question, in our minds at least, is there someone really out there for me? I know I did, as a single woman who didn't get married till 43. I thought, where is my guy? What happened to him? So just tell us kind of your perspective on this, and let's explore this a little bit, because our intention is to give hope to women out there with this fresh new start of a new year.
Yes. Well, my test for whether somebody gets love or not is basically, have they wanted it? And have they wanted it for a long time? Do they want it now? Do they feel like their life won't be complete unless they meet somebody? And if they have that desire, my take is that philosophy, that longing was put in their heart by God because they get it. It's not random. And so, you know, that's not going to be dangled in front of them and they don't get it. They actually get love. So that is the big criteria. And if they want love, they do get it. And one of my favorite sayings, because I'm Southern, is that there's a lid for every pot. And I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, like you, I do believe that that is a divinely inspired longing, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, though, at times that longing was so strong and that desire was so strong that it was painful. It was literally painful not to have it. I can remember a few times being like curled up in a ball on my bed, just sobbing.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh.
Not to have it, right? Because that's how deep the desire was. So for women, again, that have this desire, but it's yet been unfulfilled, because I know there's women out there like that, what would you say to them?
I would say to them, you get love. There's no question that there's somebody out there earmarked for you. Nobody else gets him. We just have to open you up to him. And so there's probably something that's happened or something in you that has to shift to allow it. And it can be either internal often it's a mindset, emotional issue, but then also it might be in the behavior towards men, or a way of avoiding connection or sabotaging yourself. There are different things that people do, but you definitely get love. We just have to get you there and get rid of anything that's been stopping you. So.
Mm-hmm. So if the desire is strong, then your belief is that that was divinely put there and you get love. It's just a matter of removing the blocks or the obstacles that are keeping it from coming to you.
Yes, that's what I believe. And it's what I've seen to be true. I can't think of anybody that I worked with a few years ago who doesn't now have love. Everybody gets it. And there's a lot of evidence to that effect as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most common, if we could talk about most common blocks, and I know they vary and I know there are many, but what are a few of the most common ones?
The biggest one is hanging on to somebody, either consciously, sometimes subconsciously. People don't know they're still attached to somebody from their past. But I really don't consider anybody out the gate until we can dissolve that attachment. They're not even available. They won't attract anybody. Sometimes they'll sabotage it. Sometimes they'll attract unavailable people because they're not available. So that's the biggest single block. Other ones are a bad belief about themselves and their deservingness of love. That can be a big one. Self-esteem issues, worry that it's going to somehow infringe upon their freedom or love will hurt them in some way, the past trauma. Those are some of the things that we deal with to get them into the arms of their soulmate.
Yeah. And that last one creates sort of an ambivalence where it's kind of like a tug of war inside. If someone's afraid they're going to lose their freedom or their autonomy, or as one woman said to me, it's going to cramp my style.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Then it causes that kind of tug of war going on inside and some ambivalence, even though they believe they really want love. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing you said, like an old attachment or an attachment that's still there, whether they're aware of it or not, I think that's a big one too. I know for a couple of years during my single life, I was dating this guy and I kind of knew that we weren't right for each other, but he was nice and we had a good time together, although I didn't see it going the distance. And I kind of thought, at least subconsciously, well, I can kind of, you know, date him because it's pretty casual and still kind of keep my eye out for somebody else, right? It's like one foot in and one foot out. Mm-hmm. Of course, that didn't work. It never worked.
Yeah, there can be an internal conflict. So I've worked with a lot of people who have that issue, and that's what we have to do. We have to line them up. I can think of a woman who thought she'd never get married and been single for so long. She'd almost given up. And when we started testing her beliefs and what was going on, she had a deep fear that she'd get tied down. And she was a free spirit, independent. And as soon as we lined up that she could have a guy who stayed fascinating to her, could keep up with her, and also like some freedom, she met this great guy who was very successful, very high-flying life, but he liked adventure and he held on loosely. So they got their alone time, but they also did these crazy fun trips together and just had so much fun. And so she was kind of thinking of somebody who wouldn't be right in her brain. And so that kept her. So you do have to line up with it and maybe think bigger, imagine bigger for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So Catherine, I wonder, we shared a little bit of your story in your introduction when I introduced you, but I think it would be fun for the ladies here. You know, some may have been single moms, many have been divorced, many have been in past relationships and are re-entering or have been in the dating world for some time. And I always think it's fun to hear people's stories. I think that inspires people. I'd love it if you shared a little more of your personal story.
Sure. Well, I was, you know, a sensitive introvert growing up, and I still am pretty introverted. And so I didn't have the best people skills. I couldn't meet a bunch of strangers to date a bunch of people. And so I'd fall into these bad relationships. I had my own crazy love, and crazy love relationships are something I talk about in my book right here, Love Will Find You. I actually talk about that because it was so common when I directed crisis support. I was still single when I was directing crisis support. So going through dating and finding my soulmate during that time was pretty interesting. But I was single for 10 years as I was a single mom. And so during that time, it was hard. I was lonely. I was preoccupied with being a mom. I'm sure I didn't have a lot of room for the right love. And I had some healing to do. Didn't take long once I figured that out. And I had to get help too. But I just started getting this thing that I teach people now. Everything I did is something I teach. But I had to start getting this idea that there really was. I could start feeling him. And then I kind of knew when he was coming. And I started looking around like, well, where is he? I can feel it. And he, sure enough, he did come during that period of time when I was kind of feeling him the most. It's John, my husband, and we've been married over 16 years now. And we just really clicked. I'm always telling everybody that you've never had the best love you're going to have until you meet your soulmate. So the best is yet to come. And that was true. I mean, you can't argue that when you meet your soulmate, it changes your life. And so when I met him, it was just at a different level. And our life together has far exceeded anything I'd ever imagined. I never thought I could have children in my 40s. I wanted a family. And to this day, sometimes I'll pinch myself and say, my gosh, I wanted a family this whole time with a mom and a dad and kids. He's amazing with my child. They just fit like a glove. And I always tell single moms that is that your guy will fit in with your family and be an asset. Won't take away from it, wouldn't take you away from your family. They become a very integral part. And that's what happened to me. And so it's been a whirlwind. Even all these years, it doesn't feel like it could have been that long. I'm going on date night later. We go on date nights, date trips, you know, date out of the country sometimes alone. Especially now that our kids are a little older and we can leave them with somebody. But the romance is still there. And I just don't think it gets old when you meet your soulmate. And so I love that I'm living that. And I know you are too, because it helps to know how to get there. You wouldn't hire a financial advisor who had never had financial success. And so I always think it helps to get somebody to help you with dating and finding your soulmate, somebody who's experienced it and can pull you there. And so after that, my work became very successful out of that relationship, because I could see what a functional relationship felt like. I'd never seen one. I grew up in a dysfunction, as most of us did. A lot of couples out there at the time were dysfunctional. And so it was kind of a shock that it went this well. And if something came up, we worked it out. It's just been amazing. And so I am eternally grateful for the love I share with John and so much that's come out of it.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And how did the two of you meet?
We met through mutual friends. At the time, I was with my crazy love. And I was at a party, and one of my friends brought him. And I was like, well, where's he been? Because we had been hanging out with this crowd that I knew through work. And I shouldn't have been noticing, because I was with my crazy love. But I was looking at my future. That's why I noticed him. And then when we broke up, he was with a girlfriend. So it was about 4 years for us both to be single at the same moment. And we were just brought together in a magical way on a trip with mutual friends. And that was it. It went very quickly after that. And it does go quickly. It is like a whirlwind when you meet your soulmate a lot of times. So for us, it was very quick and we just knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I just think it's fun for women to hear success stories, especially, you know, when we didn't meet and attract the right guy, you know, like in our early 20s or something. I have these nieces and nephews that have gotten married in their early 20s, and I'm like, how in the world did that happen for them?
I know. Well, some people do. A lot of us don't. And I sometimes, one of the things I do say, late bloomers are the happiest, because we will never take it for granted after everything we went through to get to our soulmate. We will never take it for granted. We'll cherish it. So I do say that. So if any of you listening are a late bloomer and haven't found love yet, you'll get to be the happiest, and you haven't settled. You're waiting for your soulmate. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And I can echo that, because it was definitely worth waiting for me to meet the right guy. And my husband and I have been married now for 12 years. And I'm so grateful that I didn't settle, because it's just been amazing, such an amazing gift and blessing. So
I love that. Well, congratulations, Michelle. You deserve it.
Well, you too. So I want to ask you a question, Catherine, and I've asked a couple of people this over the last few weeks, and it's because of I had a client ask me this, and knowing that you have a spiritual bent to your work, I wanted to ask you this question because I'd like to hear your point of view.
Sure.
And that is, so this client asked me, and she tends to be on the spiritual side, as do I. I have that element into my life and in
me
my
too.
Work. Yeah, but she said, what is the right balance of being really intentional, you know, like in being intentional and putting yourself out there, online dating, going to events, trying to be visible, creating opportunity, and allowing also for divine timing, serendipity, you know, spirit, God to guide you. She said, what is the right combination of that? Because she leans toward the spiritual. And so she's like, well, should I be being intentional or should I just allow it to happen? So I want to hear what your take is on that and just see what your point of view is.
Well, I'm with your client. I work with a lot of introverts. And so there are a certain number of people that I work with who we kind of declare the next person you date will be your soulmate. And we set about to make that happen. And I've literally had people just do the inner work that I teach and have love show up at the door. I have a whole file folder full of weddings where they met while this person who was an introvert was staying at home. Crazy story. And so I think that if you can get yourself in attractant mode enough, you don't have to do a lot. You don't have to be in the CMAT club, I call it, where it can't miss a thing.
Yeah.
You have to be on every dating site, go to every party. It's exhausting and you're doing too much. Successful career women often fall into that category and they exhaust themselves and they're still not meeting someone because they didn't get themselves magnetic first. They didn't line up and use this spiritual aspect that we're talking about. And so a lot of my work falls more heavily on that side. For different people, it's different. Extroverts can't stay home very well and need to get out. For them, it's different, and they probably have more people skills than we introverts anyway. so it's individual. It depends, but nobody can neglect the inner work. A lot of people who've tried everything and are at their wit's end, they neglected their inner life and their emotional body, where they are emotionally, their mindset. Because when you get to the right place, you become this magnet for love, and it does just show up, and you don't have to do much at all. So I'm with your client on that answer.
Yeah. And it's true because you can be doing all of the right things, you know.
Yes.
In quotation marks. You can be doing all the right things on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's not that alignment inside, if you have the inner blocks, then no matter what you're doing on the outside, you're not really open, ready to receive love.
That's right.
And I think with a lot of women, our giving muscles, even to the point of overgiving, sometimes in unhealthy ways, are really strong. Our receiving muscles are not always as well developed.
Oh, and that's something that I tell people all the time. Not only do you have to receive, but look for a guy who the minute he hears you're sick, he's rushing over with soup because it has to be reciprocal. He has to nurture you too, and you need to receive because women can be overgiving. And then you get the wrong person if you fall into that. You get a taker, somebody who's never going to nurture you. And that's a sign of soulmates in my book, is that they love you and they want to do for you and they're nurturing you too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing when that happens. That kind of guy is so wonderful to have in your life. It's such
let me tell you.
Such a luxury and a benefit.
Yeah.
And a blessing. So, Catherine, if women are listening to this and they're saying, okay, you know, I get it. I feel like I've done a lot of inner work. This is another thing I hear from women a lot. They're like, I've been working on my inner work stuff for years, for decades, and I've done so much self-work and spent so much money and been through so many programs and had so much therapy, and they still don't feel like it's happening.
Uh-huh. Well, if they've done a lot of inner work, then we need to concentrate on how are they connecting. I would test them for how they're connecting. What are they doing? There's some very easy things that we can do And once we diagnose and find out where they're lacking, that we'll make sure they're connecting. Because some people are great internally and they're, oh, and then they meet a guy and they fall apart or they get tongue-tied and really uptight and there's just no opening. People don't know they're doing it. And so that we can't neglect that part because it does involve another person. We need to connect and we need to know how to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there really is a combination, but the inner work has to be addressed. If
I think it comes first.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us what you think would be important for women who really have felt like their love life in the past has been a disaster. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that feel like they've made a lot of mistakes. Maybe they have been hurt or deceived or left or abandoned or divorced by someone they loved. And some women come to these events kind of raw, in kind of a raw place. So there's healing to be done. But what else might you tell them? Because again, my intention is to give people hope at the beginning.
Absolutely. I would tell them that there's value in that. That I think that everybody who found love, even your young nieces and nephews, they probably went through some heartbreak because there's value in it. And it doesn't mean they're doomed. It just means we're going to learn from it. And you learn what you do and don't want. So there's value in it. It's fine because now we'll never do that again. What we have to do, like you said, we have to heal. We have to let it go and have it be a clean slate now. Take our lesson and create something different. But they have every hope for love. Doesn't change your past. Doesn't change that. We're here now so we can start again and take that lesson and do better and meet your soulmate now. And he would never hurt a hair on your head. He loves you up one side and down the other, would never cheat, only has eyes for you, and he will be worth the wait.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is not just forgiving others, if that's necessary, but also forgiving yourself. Like for me, I felt like that was a part of my journey. I had to forgive myself for the things that I had done in my love life that sabotaged me or spending too much time in the wrong relationships or getting too attached to someone who wasn't reciprocating in the way I hoped or whatever. Like I had to forgive myself for the wasted time and lack of confidence or focus that caused me to spend too many years in the wrong relationships. That was a big piece for me. Because once I kind of realized my own inner blocks, I could see how I'd spent so much time and I was so upset because these were years. I wanted to have a family too and I didn't get the opportunity to do so. But, these were precious years of my life that I invested with the wrong men. And I had to forgive myself for that because I was doing the best I knew at that time.
Yeah. And family comes to us different ways. My child, my husband was a single guy when we got married. And so, single dad. And so I have a stepchild and I have noticed that he feels like my child, he feels the same as the ones who came through my body, but there's also chosen family and we end up mothering people who in other ways. And so you might've been meant to be a mother in a different way and now you're happy. And so I always do find that people who, when they find their soulmate, they're too busy being happy to be more, worried about the past. I'm sure you are, but definitely to forgive oneself. So many women are hard on themselves. And so that is part of that release work that I do with people. Release anything that you're holding yourself accountable for unduly. You were doing the best you could. And let's move on and be nicer to yourself.
So. Yeah, because loving yourself, and we always hear this and it almost sounds cliche, but loving yourself is a gateway towards being open to receiving love from someone else.
It has to happen because if you're not good at that, you're off center and you will not attract a soulmate. You'll attract another crazy love or something that will hurt you or disappoint you. And so that is part of that inner work we were talking about that has to be done.
So tell us a little bit more about your book, Love Will Find You. I love the title, first of all, because it's so hopeful.
Thank you.
So optimistic and beautiful. So tell us a little bit more about your book. I know you've mentioned it already a little bit. But.
Yeah, well, there it is. If anybody wants to see what it looks like, it's behind that wedding picture. And my agent named it because the original title was A Lid for Every Pot, which is a big saying of mine, Southern. But she thought it sounded too much like a cookbook. So she named it, and it's like that Journey song about Love Will Find You. But if you Google Love Will Find You, I think I come up first or second with Journey. I'm a good company. But it's about magnetizing love to you. It's a really good, easy introduction to my work. It's fun. And you know, we were talking about looking for love stories. I think that's so important. And I put a lot of stories that have come out of my work. I put samples of weddings and stories of healing, you know, things like that. And I think it's very critical to look for the positive stories instead of negative statistics or whatever. Look for examples of what we want, case studies. And so my book has a lot of that, but it's an easy introduction to my work. It takes like 2 hours to read it, easy read. And I give little exercises to do. And some people read the book and it's enough. Some people need deeper work that they would do with you or me. But it's a great introduction to my work, and it's a bestseller and has been in print for many, many years because people give it to their friends. And, you know, it kind of opens a door to the idea that you do get a soulmate and that you can attract them without doing crazy things to try and find them. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Right. Right. Well, thank you so much for that. And that's how I found you, Catherine.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I originally found you, was through your book. So I'm so grateful that you wrote it. And I'm so grateful that you're sharing your journey and helping so many people, because it's such a blessing. I mean, you and I were speaking briefly before we started this conversation. And I was telling you about my mother's recent passing and how it made me realize even more deeply that in the end, love is really what matters.
That's right. Yes.
Just the most important thing in life. And so you and I are incredibly blessed to be doing the kind of work that we're doing in the world.
Yes, we are. If I ever doubt, like, have I done anything in the world? I come look at the wall of weddings and a lot of the letters I've gotten, and, you know, people send me everything. And, I try to remember, okay, you know, I've helped so many people. There's babies that wouldn't exist. And I know this is true for you. And it's just such a rich thing to do.
Yeah, it's such a blessing. Yeah. So I know we've just barely scratched the surface of what you have to share, Catherine. And I know so many women out there will be resonating with you and your message and your work. And I know you have this free gift, which is kind of a triple gift, right? Ridiculously Easy Way to Love webinar and report and notes and a soul call meditation. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. This class is to introduce the idea that you could find love in as little as 10 minutes. And I've had so many people find love in under 10 minutes. The minute they change something, love is so organic, it could happen any minute. There's not like a logical line to it. And so this class introduces that idea and backs it up, their exercises. And then the soul call meditation is a mini, like 5-minute version of what I do. I'm known for it. It's, you're sending out a call to your one. It's like an energetic invitation. And so many people who find love through my work say that that was the moment they started feeling this person. And so I wanted to give your viewers a taste of it. And I hope you guys will enjoy it.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. And for all of you that are watching or listening, just click on the link underneath this video or audio and you can access it there. We have the link there so that you can get these free gifts from Catherine. And so Catherine, I want to let you have kind of the last word, if you will. And I want to, before you leave us with a last thought or last word, I want to thank you so much for being here and for contributing to the event and for the work you do in the world. And so here we are now at the beginning of the new year. What words would you like to leave with the ladies here who are listening?
Okay. I would say that if you bother to sign up for this summit and you're here listening to us, I want you to remember you get love. There is no way you'd be listening to us if you didn't. And so let's do a couple things to get you there. And you will be in the arms and you're going to have the best year of your life. So let's make it your breakthrough year. and you will never look back because you'll be so happy in the arms of your soulmate.
Hmm. That was beautiful. I kind of got the goosebumps when you said that. It makes me so happy to think of so many women getting love this year and the year ahead. So no matter what has happened in the past is in the past, and we're at a brand new beginning.
And that's right.
Great new opportunity. So we're so grateful you joined us. And Catherine, thank you so much for sharing of your wisdom and for your lovely presence here. And ladies, please join us for more of Ready for the Right Guy. Take care
and
bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.